I'd like to return to the classics. Perhaps the most famous classic in all the world of music. And yet, for some strange reason, I've been told that I'm the only pianist to ever play this number in Carnegie Hall.
This hour, we talk about Liberace, and that's the real Liberace. There is a Liberace on stage at the Stackner Cabaret in Milwaukee, and you need to see him. Jack Forbes Wilson is playing Liberace. He did 4 years ago, and the program was such a success. The show sold out. He's doing the program again with a few changes right now through January 11, and he'll be taking the performance to Philadelphia and then off-Broadway. I predict it will be off-Broadway. It's really a terrific show. And Jack is no stranger to audiences in the Milwaukee area and beyond. He was born and raised in Lincoln, Nebraska. He went to the University of Nebraska and came to Wisconsin to get a master's in music at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Then he went to Spring Green. I want to talk to him some this hour about that. He was at the American Players Theater, moved to Milwaukee. He's been a pianist, a singer, and an actor for 25 years now and has been in many, many shows. He's been at the Stackner Cabaret in a lot of programs. He's been at the Skylight Music Theater, Next Act Theater, where most recently he performed in Groucho, and also It's a Wonderful Life. He's an artist in residence at the First Unitarian Society of Milwaukee. He does cabaret shows with various singing partners all over the city of Milwaukee and beyond. And I've known Jack for a long time because he is also an extraordinary, I don't want to give him more business because he's very busy right now, but he is just an extraordinary teacher. And that's, as far as I'm concerned, the highlight, because he's really a great teacher. Great teacher. He taught my son, not me, but he's a great teacher. So he's with us this hour, and I know that many of you are familiar with Jack, and maybe you've had him as a piano teacher, or your children have, or you've seen the show because it was around 4 years ago, and it is around now, and or you're a huge Liberace fan. The last show we did on Liberace, we had a lot of calls about him because people remember his time in Milwaukee. So we will welcome phone calls for Jack Forbes Wilson. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. The email is talk at WPR.org, Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter as well at K Dunn Show. Hello, Jack.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Jack.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, our pleasure. Was it Song Man, Dance Man? That was the last time we had you on.
I was in here with John Peterson a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was great. So, Lib, it's such a good show. You are so good in this show, so good. And I told you 4 years ago, but it could be off-Broadway. It's just terrific. You know, I was wondering about Liberace. I read something you said about him. There are some people who dismiss him as a pianist and say, oh, he wasn't very good. He was really flashy. It was the costumes. But you have said he was really a terrific pianist.
He was a terrific pianist. I think I like to say he was a phenomenal pianist.
Really? Phenomenal.
Because that might be a different word than great. Because I don't know that anybody really listens to Liberace that much, but you played that clip, and I just heard him playing that chopsticks thing, and I think it's just light, effortless playing. And there was a kind of playing that if I put him in my mix on my iPod, I'll hear a Chopin nocturne come up, and I think, well, that's really beautiful. Who's that? Well, it's Liberace. There were certain kinds of playing that he could do really, really beautifully, those sort of things that our grandparents called light classics.
Mm, mm-hmm. And can you see it? Did you see it in yourself? We hear about Liberace being a prodigy. Can you see that kind of talent? You teach as well. When somebody's very, very young, that, oh, you could have a career in this. You're really good.
Yeah, well, I would never tell anybody that. I've never seen what he had, because when he, and I don't get the kind of students that that he was. He had just a terrific teacher here in Milwaukee, Florence Betray Kelly. at the, not the Wisconsin Conservatory of Music. It was called the Wisconsin College of Music, but it became the same thing.
Yeah.
And she found out about him and nabbed him. And
she nabbed him.
And she made him work, and she really pushed him. But they loved each other, and she helped to make him who he was. But I think the kind of talent that he had, you would recognize immediately.
Yeah. I would. And what about you? When did you realize that you could play the piano? When did you start?
Oh, I just took piano lessons with my sisters because we were supposed to. Back in my day, we didn't do all the things that kids do now. So we took piano lessons, and we played baseball in the summer, and that was sang in church choir. That's kind of all we did. And I think I was mostly just a good student. I wasn't such a great pianist, but I was a good student.
But you can play, because you as well can go, if you ask me, effortlessly from classical to playing boogie-woogie to playing chopsticks. I mean, you have some of the same talents that he did in terms of your repertoire, I think.
Yeah, well, I don't know about the talent, but I might say that I have the same love. I do love all kinds of music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you can play it on the piano, I like to do it.
You're good.
I like
at
to
it.
Try.
I'm glad you're doing it. I think it's a good thing for you to do. Was there ever a point where you, because this happens to young people frequently, I don't want to play this anymore.
I remember when I was in high school.
Did you
I was
really?
A senior in high school. I went to my mom and said, you know what? I think I'm going to quit taking piano lessons. And she said, no, you're not. And I said, okay.
And then you wound up getting a master's in music.
Yeah, I studied with the great teacher from Madison, Howard Karp, who died this summer.
I've heard that name. There was just
a wonderful article about him in the New York Times not too long ago. Yeah, somebody who focused on teaching. He still played all the time, but he made teaching be the thing that was most important to him. He's had wonderful students over the years.
Hmm. So is there any kind of connection between an interest in excelling at mathematics, because you were a chemistry major for your undergraduate work, and being able to perform on the piano or another musical? Is there a connection in your head somehow?
We hear that there is.
Yeah.
Music just appeals to me on all levels, but my mind does sort of swim when I look at the way Bach puts together a fugue. So to me, it's gorgeous, and it appeals to me emotionally, but also my brain gets turned on by structure and form as well.
But also by improv, because I've seen you do improv.
I don't actually do improv. I think that's a trick. That's a trick, yeah. I practice a lot and make it seem like I'm making it up. But most of the time, I'm not really making it up.
So you've prepared. You've prepared yourself. You're competent at all of this, so you can do that.
Yeah,
so you can just make it sound like it.
But I think actually a lot of people who play jazz, they might make you think that they don't spend as many hours, but they do.
Yeah, of course. In order to do it, Liberace, I mean, he's a difficult, I would think, person to put on stage, because there's so much that we think we know about him, and this flamboyancy and the costumes and everything, to get at what his soul was and what was troubling him in his life and what his father was and his love relationship and his need to be with an audience. He's a fairly complicated guy. He's not a one-dimensional, oh, I want to wear flashy costumes and I'm not a great pianist. He's much more than that.
Yeah, yeah. When I said yes to doing this show 4 years ago, after they asked me a couple of times, I think I was not aware of how great a pianist he was. Mm. And I sort of thought the feathers and the flash were a camouflage, but they weren't. He could play flawlessly and effortlessly and joyously. But the trick with this play is there's no fourth wall. We're talking to the audience the whole time, but his whole life was a creation, and he sort of admitted that. Entertainment was to him a diversion. I think art is something else to some actors and to some performers, but to him, art was artifice, and so he created this character called Liberace. And so the trick in performing this play is, how do you do that when he never revealed much about himself to his public. Mm-hmm. Well, that's debatable. I don't know. In a way, maybe that was really who he was.
And you said you could identify that because you're a cabaret performer at times, too, so that there's a certain persona. It's not Jack Forbes Wilson. It's you as what, a cabaret performer?
Yeah.
Not in this show, but in other things.
Yeah, I think a lot of people who do cabaret, I'm Jack Wilson, but the Jack Forbes Wilson that I am in a play with a character named that is more outgoing than I am and mm-hmm. more confident than I am and a better piano player than I am. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of cabaret performers create a character, a sort of stage persona, not to the extreme that Liberace did, but
yeah,
I think a lot of, and you know, I suppose you do too. I think anybody who is before the public has a character that they put on that makes them more comfortable. Politicians do, and lawyers
politicians
do.
Politicians do too much, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah.
They need to be more
yeah.
real.
And yeah, we all do it. So I think it's something that we can all relate to in this
right.
play.
Right. So when you look at his life, I mean, it's a really tender performance, too. I mean, the end of the show is just, you know, it just sort of leaves you breathless. You couldn't hear a sound in that room at the end of the show that I saw on Friday night. Everybody was just captivated. Because it's the end of his life, but it's also an essence of what he's had to deal with, the sexuality that he couldn't be very open about, and then it's exposed for him, and there's a part of him that he can never be very open about, even though he's so widely acclaimed and so well-known. It's kind of tragic, isn't it?
I guess it is. I don't feel tremendously sorry for him in that I think he really lived the life he wanted to live.
Mm-hmm.
And it might seem like a creation, but it was his own creation. And I think he loved the life that he lived, and he had most everything he wanted.
Yeah, he did,
most
really.
Of the time.
Yeah, that's true, he did.
Considering that, you know, he came from West Allis, from working immigrant parents, and he was kind of the embodiment of the American dream for all the good and for all the bad that that expression means.
Yeah. What is it about him that had these fans who just loved Liberace? And I'm sure we'll hear from some of them now, too.
Yeah.
Was it that rags to riches story that people identified with? Was it the glamour that people? Oh, what are you going to wear next? Was it the piano playing, or what was it?
He always said, and when I was learning this play, I thought, oh, I can't say these lines. They seem so sappy and so sugary. But he loved his audience, and you know what? The more stories I hear about him from people around here and from people who played with him in the symphony, I think it's true.
Huh.
And then you would talk to other performers who would describe what it is that Liberace had, and they would say that was what it really was. There was this sort of, underneath all those feathers, there was a warmth that shot right out over the footlights.
Mm. So you talked to symphony players who had played with him.
Yeah. When he toured around the Midwest, he played with musicians from the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra, and they'll still tell you he was a phenomenal performer and musician. And I started talking to people after I said yes to it, and I realized, oh my gosh, he was really good. And they really loved performing with him. I have a great story that I heard from somebody who was touring with him up in Green Bay. They did this great concert, and the musicians were the first to leave because Liberace loved talking to its audience. And when the musicians went out to their cars, there was some, like, hate mail. And there were flyers, anti-gay, homophobic stuff, tucked in the windshields of all the cars around the whole theater. And the members of the orchestra went around, pulled those, and removed them all from the cars by the time Liberace came off. So he may have never even known about it.
Oh. You have to tell me the lacrosse story, because I believe it is true that snow and lacrosse were big turning points for lacrosse for one part of his life, snow for many parts of his life. But the lacrosse story is just wonderful, and how you play the song is pretty wonderful, too. Was that a big moment in his deciding?
It actually was. Lacrosse was a really, really big moment for him, one of three or four. And he was touring small towns in the upper Midwest playing classical piano recitals as part of some sort of a series. And there was a huge snowstorm. Somehow, even though nobody could hardly get out of their houses, everybody from La Crosse came to this concert, and then they ended up sort of getting snowed in. So after he was done with his concert, he played four or five encores, and then he did what he was able to do even as a child. He took requests, and I think he got some requests for, you know, a Chopin Nocturne or something, but somebody asked for the children's song Three Little Fishies. Which he decided, what the heck, I'll play it. And he played it and then did another thing he's known for is, you know, just being able to play it in different styles. Mm-hmm. And that review in the La Crosse paper went national. Three Little Fishies Swim in a Sea of Classics. And that was his big break.
Mm-hmm. And when you played it, the audience loved singing that song.
Well, I was surprised. I didn't know. Does anybody out there know Three Little Fishies?
Yes, they
do. I guess so. I guess people still sing it. So, yeah, we get the audience to sing along, too. And that's something he did all of his life as well. He just relied on the audience. So, yeah. So they would sing along.
So did you listen to a lot of his music? Did you study his interviews? It's a difficult thing to do somebody who's so well known and make him yours.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I ended up not being able to listen to too much of his playing because it was too discouraging.
Really?
I mean, he was just so good. I would watch those 1950s TV shows that he did, I think, every day. Half-hour shows of piano playing.
Right.
He would play these monstrously difficult things. And I think, well, he didn't spend 5 years learning that. He learned that in a day. And and I don't hear any wrong notes or see any sweat or discomfort. He just loved doing it. So I can't listen to him too much. And like the Three Little Fishies thing, he was famous for that and continued to do it throughout his life. But we never found any real recordings of it. So we had to sort of invent our own version of that. So I do a Mozart, Three Little Fishies, and a Beethoven and a Strauss.
Hmm. And there were certain things that you said that maybe you didn't want to do because it was just too much.
Yeah, he won an audition with the Chicago Symphony to play the Liszt A Major Piano Concerto. Actually, you were just talking about snow. I didn't know this was another big snow story. There was a huge blizzard in Chicago when he did that audition. And and he was the only one there for the audition. Well, it turned out he wasn't the only. The next day, the other people came in, but he showed up for that audition and won.
Huh. Maybe because he showed up first,
maybe
he went to a lot
so.
Of trouble.
Yeah.
Oh, you're here.
You're here. Yeah. I guess you got banned from Milwaukee. I guess you deserve to play with us.
Yeah. We're going to go to phone calls and take a pause, but we're going to play some of you too because Jack is. He's very humble, but he's a terrific piano player. So this is you. This is not Liberace. This is you playing Liberace. But this is, tell me what you had to do. It's Paderewski.
Yeah.
What is it again? It's the
minuet. There's a minuet. His very famous minuet. Right.
All right.
And the story is that Liberace did meet Paderewski when he was 7 and played this piece for him.
Wow. And here it is. Here's Jack Forbes Wilson playing this piece.
Thank you.
That sounded pretty perfect to me.
Well, I got a lot of chances in my living room.
But you added a little something?
Well, you know, as I listened to him, he did do little flourishes. And so even in all the classical stuff that we do in the show, I try to just find some little Jack Forbes Wilson thing.
Nice. Good. We're going to take phone calls for Jack. Jack is appearing in Liberace. It's at the Stackner Cabaret through January 11. He did the show 4 years ago. He's back, and it's a terrific show. So we're talking about both Liberace and about Jack. We want to talk about teaching, too, and piano lessons and all of that coming up and welcoming calls. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The email is talk@WPR.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're also on Twitter, and that's @KDunnShow. Tomorrow at this time, I'm really excited about this show. I was just captivated by this landing on this comet. So we're going to have Claudia Alexander with us, who is the U.S. project scientist for the Rosetta mission. She'll be talking about the landing of the Philae robot on the comet last week after the 10-year project. She works for the Jet Propulsion Lab for NASA and has worked on this and other missions, including the Galileo mission to Jupiter. So we'll get an update of what they've discovered tomorrow during this time period. To you. What's that?
Landing on a comet.
Can you believe that?
No, I can't.
You were fascinated by it, too.
Yeah,
I just went, oh, my gosh. I love this story. So we got to talk about it. Update tomorrow. To your phone calls momentarily here on the Ideas Network. Jack Forbes Wilson playing Liberace right now at the Milwaukee Rep Stackner Cabaret in downtown Milwaukee. So we're taking Jack Forbes Wilson calls and Liberace calls as well. 800-486-8655 is the number. Robert in Glendale. Hi.
Hi. I'm with the local musicians union. Liberace was a member of the union from when he was a teenager up through when he died. In fact, we still have his application on file, which is a very interesting document.
Wow, cool.
But I wanted to pass on a story that I'd heard from a gentleman by the name of Al Getz, who had worked for the union as staff for many years, and who knew Liberace. I interviewed him for a history project, and he said that Liberace would come up every couple weeks to the union, which at the time was where Walnut and the freeway now are. And I think he'd take the streetcar up, and he'd come up, and he'd pay his dues, and then he'd go across the street for an ice cream. And I just described him as a very nice young man.
And how old was he? Do you know?
I think he must have been 17 or 18.
Yeah.
When he was working as a pianist in the what was the English room at the Pfister, which, of course, where he was kind of discovered nationally. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he was a real Milwaukee boy, and I think, you know, in many ways, stayed that way. He didn't have to be a member of the Milwaukee Union once he moved to Vegas, but he kept up his membership throughout his whole life. So.
Yeah. I think that local hometown boy is a quality that he had his whole life, and not just for people in Milwaukee, just sort of the whole country. Even though he was fabulously wealthy, he didn't flaunt it in a way that was offensive. It sort of the money belonged to the fans. He was a very warm.
I found in a antique store a book, kind of a magazine on him from the 60s, when he was still, you know, he's very big. He had this, he was like the first headliner in Vegas.
Yeah.
And it had a picture of his house in Vegas. And, you know, it was a nice house, but he was in the backyard in a swimming pool, and there was a fence, and you could see the neighbor's house. And you can't imagine that for the equivalent person in Vegas anymore. I mean, they live in a compound.
Yeah.
But, you know, Liberace had a nice house, and his mother lived with him, and it was all very kind of middle class.
Yeah. Have you seen Jack's show, Robert?
I haven't, but want to.
Yeah. You need to see it. It's really good.
He's a fascinating character. He is, you know, absolutely the most famous musician we've ever had in our union in Milwaukee.
Thank you so much for the call.
Thanks, Robert.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. He kept up his union dues always in Milwaukee. Isn't that a nice story?
Terrific, yeah.
Yeah. Dorothy in Presque Isle. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Kathleen. I just have a little story that I always remember very much about my mother. Back in the 50s, the very first TV we ever had, and for a long time, was strictly black and white, so she never even got to see all the costumes and all that stuff. But she would always talk about her favorite program was Silver Ace. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know. And well, I happened to be at the house one time, and she said, I can't talk right now. Silver Ace is coming on in just a little while. And so, oh, okay. So I looked at it, and I said, Mom, that S is an L. And I said, it's Liberace. It's not Silver Ace.
That is terrific.
Oh, that's a funny story. Thank you, Dorothy, for the call. Our number is 800-486-8655. What's this thing with women and Liberace? I mean, and there's some of that at your show, too. There were people who came dressed in costumes and sat in the audience. What's the bond? What is it?
I don't know. It was a different time. But, you know, back in the 50s, he was sort of a sex symbol. And it was the young girls, the way young girls always are, sort of attracted to those pop stars who are kind of safe and cute and harmless and not dangerous. And I guess they just grew up with him. And they stayed loyal to him his whole life.
Yeah. Was that sort of the mainstay of his audience?
I think it was. Yeah, it was. I mean, he was sort of known for having an audience of Midwest grannies. I don't know if he ever referred to them that way, but that was sort of his audience.
Yeah. Another thing that you said about him in the newspaper, which is really nice, that you've heard stories about Liberace playing for audiences of two or three people for an hour, and you really do like him for that. He was generous about his playing.
Yeah, and he must really have always loved to play. Somebody there's so many stories about him, but somebody said that their uncle had been a cabinet maker and was really good at what he did. So he was making Liberace's cabinets in Palm Springs, and this cabinet maker asked if he could bring his mother over just to meet him. And Liberace said, sure. And so he offered her lunch and entertained her for an hour, and literally entertained her. He just asked her if she'd like to hear anything. And he played like an hour-long private concert for this man's mother. And, I mean, aside from the generosity of that, I just think, oh, so you don't do that unless you really like to play the piano. You know, you can make lunch for somebody, but...
And he probably did that, too. He liked to cook.
And he did that, too, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's why I have to tell everybody that I know Jack, because my I would have met him at some other way anyhow, but my son used to take piano lessons from Jack. And I got to tell you, I could never leave. I knew that I was supposed to go somewhere else, but I'd walk in to Jack's house with Andrew, and holy cow, you didn't know what was going to happen. There was a duet going on. There was excitement everywhere. I mean, it was just
there
like
there are lots of pianos in that living room now. I think I have three or four.
You have three or four.
Well,
now?
Keyboards and pianos, and yeah.
But what an exciting teacher you are! I mean, you just impart this great love of playing the piano. Most kids say, "I got to play the piano," but it's just you have a real talent in that area as well. You do like it. Why do you like that?
I don't know. Well, the one way I'm different from Liberace is that I don't have the great social need that he had. I would be perfectly happy just practicing the piano all by myself.
Would you really?
Yeah.
Really?
It can get sort of lonely, and it's not for me. But I've had students that say, oh, I like to do it, but I think I'd rather play violin because then I can be in the orchestra.
Oh.
And it's more social. Huh. But one of the main things that Liberace didn't like was that loneliness of constant practicing if you wanted to be a world-class classical pianist.
Right.
And he admitted that he couldn't do that.
Huh. So do you spend a lot of time playing the piano? Do you have to? Because you're doing hours and hours for days now, months, years of doing this.
Yeah.
You do?
Actually, when the show is over, because I still get pretty nervous doing the show.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Really?
Especially for the piano playing stuff. So I usually come home and even if it's midnight, I usually play through the whole show again.
Oh,
because
my gosh,
Jack. I like to be able to practice it when I'm not nervous. And I still like all the music. I don't get tired of it. And I think I think Liberace would have been tired of that of that Paderewski minuet we just heard if he'd played it as many times as I have.
So why do you get nervous? You're this incredible pianist. I get nervous, and I don't play because I just, you know, nobody wants to hear me. But everybody wants to hear you. So why do you want? Why are you nervous about it? Do you know?
I don't know. It's always been sort of a problem of mine with playing the piano. So I like it when I can play a role, but this is harder because I'm playing the role of somebody who is a really good piano player. And there's certain parts of the storytelling that just don't work if you make a lot of mistakes. You know, that audition for the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, you know, I play some Liszt for that, and the story's not going to be told as well if I don't play that piece well.
So, but you played that well on stage. So you must really, you work on that then to make sure that pieces are really completely flawless, which they sounded that way to me. Yeah. They sounded completely flawless.
I do rely on the feathers and sequins.
Isn't that interesting that you still get nervous about it? Huh. But it's really doing well. Tell me, you said a while ago that you were asked a couple times about doing this role. You obviously said no, or you were taking it under consideration. Why did you think about it twice?
Well, they were originally going to do a production of Liberace with somebody else. I think it was something that had been written, and I think it was less of a play and more of a Liberace act.
Oh.
And when both that performer and the Milwaukee rep decided that wasn't the way they wanted to go, they thought about writing their own version of the story and making it more theatrical. And so Brent Hazelton at the rep said, I'm going to try it. And I wasn't necessarily in their mind when they started doing it, but I was playing a benefit concert at the time. And Mark Clements, who was new in town, said, hey, he's from Milwaukee.
Right.
And so I have that in common. So we hooked up, and I eventually, after saying no a couple of times, said yes. Huh. And so a lot of it is tailored to what I can do.
Yeah. And you're going to Philadelphia after Milwaukee, I understand.
The Walnut Street Theater. So we'll be able to see if this story of a Milwaukee hometown boy can work in Philadelphia.
Hmm. Will you change it at all?
I think, you know, there are a lot of local references, including the reference to this very building.
I know. What do you say about this building, too? We're not.
Yes, well.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't say it.
No, but there used to be an old vaudeville house called the Alhambra, and some of your listeners will remember it. And Liberace's father, who was a very demanding and very perfectionist French horn player, played in the orchestra at the Alhambra Theater, which is right here where we're taping the show.
Hmm. That's a good way to think about this building.
Yeah.
Nice. Karen in Winona, Minnesota. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. What a wonderful show.
Hi, Karen.
I wanted to say that Winona has been blessed by Jack's presence also. He's been coming for a number of years now in the summertime for the Great River Shakespeare Festival.
I don't like Shakespeare up in Winona.
Really?
Not just his piano, but he shares his composing talent, composing some songs for some of the shows. And he is just a favorite, not just with the audience, but this summer the Shakespeare folks did The Merry Wives of Windsor, and there were six young kids in the show as well. And our granddaughter, Emma, was one of them. And after their first rehearsal, they had to sing. And after their first rehearsal with Jack, she came home, and our daughter had gone to the rehearsal, too, to see what it would be like. They came and just said, oh, this is going to be so much fun. This is going to be so much fun. He's so wonderful. And then Emma told us later on the kids had been singing with him and sang something differently from the way that it was written. And he told them, oh, I like the way you did it better. I'm going to change that. His enthusiasm and his love of music and his respect for those children was just so wonderful. And we just look forward every summer hoping that he will be back again.
Well, say hi to Emma and tell her I'll be there soon. Yeah, Merry Wives of Windsor. We had a lot of fun with that show.
Yes, I sure will. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Thanks very much. I'm so glad she called because she lets us know about the impact you have on children. So you're a Shakespearean performer as well.
Well, no, not really. But when I went to school in Madison, I went out to American Players Theater one day, and I saw a production of Taming of the Shrew that I that sort of changed my life. And I had just gotten my master's degree in piano, and I wrote a letter to Randall Duck Kim, the artistic
director. Oh, I remember.
What
a brilliant man he is.
Yeah, and it was that was way back in the early days when they were just getting started. And I told Randy, I am going to move out to Spring Green, and I'm going to work at your theater. I didn't audition or anything, and back then, that was the kind of thing that Randy liked to hear. So I wasn't an actor, but he let me be in the shows when they had live music, and even when there weren't, you know, just spear carriers. And he gave me a place right next to him in the dressing rooms. So my dressing table was right next to Randy Kim, and I just kept my mouth shut and learned a lot of stuff when I was there.
Isn't that, I've always, and I always bring up that story because I used to interview the three of them when they were starting it, before they started the theater, actually, when they were traveling around and they had found all over the country and found the perfect place in Spring Green. And there was this dream, and by golly, it's vibrant still. I just think it's a great story.
And it's doing so well, yeah.
Yeah.
And some of those people are still there. Bless their hearts.
I know. Isn't that something? How did you link up with this group in Minnesota?
I can't remember how. Huh. Oh, well, I did a play here in town with John Daly called The Daily News. And John Daly is a regular company member. He's been at Great River Shakespeare Festival since the beginning. So we went up and did his play, The Daily News, a three-person play. And I talked to Paul Barnes, the director, and we discussed me writing music for Comedy of Errors.
Oh.
And I think we had a meeting here, and he said he sort of wanted to have an opening number. It was their seventh season, and they wanted to have a song that would mention all of the Shakespeare shows they'd done so far. And I didn't know them very well, but I thought, oh, I'm perfect to write it, because what little I know about each song, I can put into a song. So I wrote that song in my head on my bike on the way home from the Plaza Hotel. I recorded it and sent it to Paul, and he said, great, come on up, and we'll do a whole show.
Isn't that something? As you've been talking, I've been thinking about how you never exactly know what's happening next in your life, do you? I mean, it's just that one thing after another leads to something else. It's not like I'm going to be a chemist and that's what you do for your life.
Well, I suppose when you're a chemist, the same thing sort of happens. One thing leads to next, to the next.
Perhaps
something explodes and you decide you need to go a different direction. But yeah, some things exploded and I decided to go a different direction.
We welcome phone calls if you want to join our conversation. Jack Forbes Wilson is our guest this hour. He's playing Liberace at the Milwaukee Repstechner Cabaret. Did the show 4 years ago. It's a wonderful program, and he's doing it again now through January 11th. And we're welcoming phone calls. People still remember Liberace. If you have Liberace stories you'd like to share, that would be fine. Or if you've seen the show, we'd love to hear your response to it. Or if you just want to talk about, you know, playing the piano and music, and that's fine, too. Here's our number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org, Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter as well, @KDunnShow. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Jack Forbes Wilson, our guest this hour, and we're welcoming phone calls for him at 800-486-8655 is the number. Sue in Milwaukee, our next caller. Jack, hi, Sue.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Sue.
I was in the car when I heard that they had never heard Liberace playing Three Little Fishies, and I have a player piano, and I have a piano roll played by Liberace. Three Little Fishies.
Sue, I gotta hook up with you. Because I don't think he recorded it.
I'd be happy for you to stop by and listen to it, or if you have access to a player piano.
That I don't have, but yeah. Oh, yeah, I would love
I'll
to.
I'll lend you the role.
Yeah, we're gonna hook up, Sue.
All right, how do we do this? We get Sue, we're going to have, KP's
on it, Sue.
He's on it,
I'm going to give
you
a call.
All right, we'll get you on hold and we'll get the phone number, et cetera. All right, Sue, thanks very much
for
the call. That's great. And I would admit, you know, it's interesting how many Liberace stories there, when did he die? It wasn't all that long ago,
He died in 87, which was a year after I had moved to town.
Yeah. And I hadn't known that he gave all these scholarships, and I guess they're still going, aren't they?
I think the conservatory still has a Liberace scholarship. I've talked to people who have gotten that Liberace scholarship, and that's just here. But I think there is still a Liberace scholarship out there. He genuinely did believe in cultivating young talent.
Right. And you do too, don't you?
Yeah, when I can.
I must be hard. Yeah, because you're doing so much else at this point. So how do you, I want to go back to this being nervous, because I think people get nervous about doing things. And I was amazed to hear you say that you get nervous playing the piano because you're a pianist. You're terrific. People get afraid of public speaking. We all have things that make us afraid. So what do you do other than going home after the show and playing the whole show again, which is incredible? Do you just sort of calm yourself? How do we calm?
Breathe, yeah.
You breathe?
You came to the show the other day, and I stopped by and chatted with you. But for me, I like to come into the theater through the front door. And if I can see audience members beforehand,
really?
That really helps a lot. Some people don't like to do that, and some actors don't want to know who's out there. But I like to talk to people first. We had that night when these women came with all of their jewels and their rings and their feathers right down in the front table. So that might have freaked me out a little bit if I had gone out and seen that radiance the first thing out. But I went and talked to them first, and so that's a good way for me to just remember that the audience is made up of people who want to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And those women really wanted to be there. Yeah. I mean, they love Liberace. They knew you. They loved you. It was a birthday party.
Yeah, I think it was an excuse to wear some fancy clothes.
I think you may be right. Michael in Madison, hi.
Hello. Question. I was wondering, I had heard that when Liberace was younger, he had a medical situation where they cut his tongue because he had problems with pronunciation and things of the sort. So I was wondering if you could comment on that.
Really?
I know that he came from a Polish background, so I don't know if that, you know, was trying to fit in and things of the sort. But can you, you know, comment on that?
Yeah, well, you know, you've heard that expression, tongue-tied.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know where that came from, but his father thought that he might have been literally tongue-tied. And he had he had speech therapy for almost 7 years of his life. I've never found out exactly what it was.
Huh.
If it was a stutter. In our play, we don't reference it much, but there are a couple of places where I play him as a young child, and I do just put in a little bit of a stutter. When I was working with Gail Childs Daly earlier this month, who's a speech professional in the theater, and I just thought maybe she could give me some pointers. We watched some videos of Liberace, and I said, you know, I've heard that he had some sort of a speech impediment when he was young. And she said, yes, I can hear that in the way he's overcompensating.
Oh,
and it could be that he had such a good ear. His mother was Polish and spoke Polish. His father was Italian. And it could be that the odd combinations of languages contributed to some sort of a problem because after he was 17, Michael, I think that problem went away. Mm. And it could have just been another one of those many things that he overcame. Mm. But I don't know if that surgery that he had when he was young was actually necessary. But it was an attempt by his father to clear up this speech problem, which I've never exactly figured out what it was.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So do you like doing this show? I mean, I don't know, you're a few hours before a performance here. Are you already getting nervous about it?
Or? No, because I'm here with you. And I'll go over to the theater and play through it a couple of times. And I'm now sort of getting to the point where I think,
this is yours.
This could be really, really, this could
this
start to
yours.
Get fun.
Could start to get
no,
fun.
No, it is fun. It is. Doing the show is always
but
fun.
But the other thing that amazes me, Jack, is that there you, it's just you. I mean, there you are. It's your show.
Yeah, that's a lot of it.
And it's a lot of time. And
it's a lot of time. And
right.
I'm hearing it in my voice. I'm a little scratchy today. So yeah, of course, there's no understudy. We're still looking for somebody out there who wants to play this part someplace.
I don't know who it could be,
and it can be sort of tailored to different needs. But yeah, I've got to do maybe 75 or 80 shows, all told. So I got to stay healthy.
Yeah, you do have to stay healthy. I was wondering about that because
it's an excuse to sleep late in the morning.
Right. All right, lemon. Get a lemon.
I'm going to get a lemon.
All right, good. Carol in Dousman. Hi.
Hi, I'm just calling because I find this show very interesting. Both my parents went to high school with, well, they called him Walter or Wally.
Yeah.
And we still have my parents' yearbooks. They went to Weenie High. They called it West Milwaukee. And they did theater in high school, and my parents hung with them. My dad had a car, and they drove him many places for after-school activities and whatnot. And they shared a lot of memories with us kids. My older brothers and sisters would know better, but I do think it's funny that we still have the yearbooks. He signed them all, and it's kind of fun. I said to person who answers the phone, it would have been so cool if they had a class reunion that he showed up at.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there because it's neat to have the yearbooks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. I'd like to see that. Thanks very much, Carol, for the call. Linda. Hi, Linda.
Well, it's Linda Rachi. I'm one of the three women who were
Linda
there.
Rachi.
Oh,
Linda Rachi.
Hello again.
Hi, Linda. I took a picture of you, and I'm trying to figure out on my phone how to get it on Facebook. I just can't do it yet, but I'll figure it out at some point.
You need to do it. My friends are from Minnesota who are visiting are calling me. We're checking Facebook. Where
okay,
is it?
Okay.
Where is it?
I'll have somebody.
We'll get that on. We'll be sure to get that on Facebook.
I'll figure it out. This was Linda and her friends were dressed in the capes, and you really went all out, Linda. And I never really found out why. Are you big Liberace fans?
Well, it started last year with the Behind the Candelabra movie that my friend likes Michael Douglas and I like Matt Damon. And we just got the movie, and she was coming for my birthday last year. So I secretly started to do all Liberace things, and she was secretly doing the same thing. So when she arrived, she had a candelabra, and I had one. And I'd made some dress-up stuff, and she'd brought us caftans because apparently he used to relax in his house and captains. And then this year another friend came, so we had to go all out.
And then
the show
did.
Was on, and it couldn't have been more perfect.
Yeah, it was great. It was great to see you. And I promise you, we'll get the picture on Facebook. It's a really great picture of all of you.
I think that movie did generate interest in Liberace with young people.
Yeah, I didn't like the movie, but
I never saw it.
You never saw it? I didn't like it. There was too much sex in it for me. Not that I'm a prude, but it was a little too much. You know, there's more to Liberace. Well, Jack, that's it. We got to say goodbye.
Thank you.
It was great. Thank you.
Thanks for inviting me
thank
down.
Thank you.
And thanks to everybody for calling. More stories.
Yeah, more stories. Jack Forbes Wilson, he's playing Liberace at the Milwaukee Rep Sackner Cabaret, and the performances go through January 11, and then he goes to Philadelphia if you want to get some audiences in place for him tomorrow. We talk about the comet. So join us. Thanks to KP Whaley.